Day 465, Tuesday, July 16th, Isaiah 14, 3:27, Isaiah 14, 3:27 NKJV. It shall come to pass in the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow, and from your fear and the hard bondage in which you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how the oppressor has ceased, the golden city ceased, the Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he who ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and no one hinders. The whole earth is at rest and quiet, they break forth into singing. Indeed the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down, no woodsman has come up against us. Hell from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you, and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them, sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse, trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land, and fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant, and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine, and marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Daily deep dive. The UCG reading plan states, the prophecies against Babylon continue, specifically against the ruler of Babylon. It is obvious from verses 1-3 that this has a primary fulfillment in the final ruler of end-time Babylon, a world dictator over a resurrected Roman Empire of the last days who is called the Beast in the book of Revelation. Revelation 19:19-20. The ancient kings of Babylon were forerunners of this final ruler, as ancient Babylon was conquered in one day by the Medes and Persians, as foretold by the famous miracle of the handwriting on the wall recorded in Daniel 5. So will end-time Babylon and its ruler meet sudden end at Christ's return. Revelation 18:19. Yet the final ruler himself is portrayed in Isaiah 14 as a type of someone else. His name, in verse 12, is given as Lucifer. But actually this is a Latin name, meaning light-bearer. It is a translation of the Hebrew halal. This word, based on related Hebrew words, seems to mean brightness or praising. Or, if the word is considered as halal, perhaps even brightness of God or praise to God, though such translations are not normally given because most scholars reject the angelic identity this could imply. It also appears that Halel was the Hebrew name for the day star, that is, the planet Venus. Some now even see in the name Halel ben Shahar, son of dawn, a reference to a pagan deity represented by the planet Venus. In any case, we are left with the picture of a grand star, likened to Venus, that wants to be grander than the other stars. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Verse 13. To really understand the picture here we need to know a little about astronomy. Venus is the brightest object in the sky except for the sun and moon. We now understand it to be a planet. But to the ancients it was classed as a star, simply because their words for star meant a small, shining point of light in the sky. Notice that the reference in verse 12 is day star, son of the morning. Dot. The planet Venus is still referred to as either the morning star or the evening star, because it is visible only just before sunrise or just after sunset. Before dawn, Venus rises from the eastern horizon, but before it is able to climb into the sky, to rise above the other stars and be the highest, the light of the rising sun, the ultimate physical day star, causes Venus to disappear in the growing light of day. After sunset, Venus appears just above the western horizon, but it sets, or is brought down to the ground, very quickly. The individual pictured in these verses exalts himself with 5 I Wills verses 13-14. He aspires to universal domination, to be like the Most High, verse 14. This attitude certainly applied to the rulers of ancient Babylon, who viewed themselves as exalted above all other human rulers. Compare Daniel 4:29-37. And it likely similarly applies to the unbridled arrogance of the final end-time ruler of Babylon, but it applies most of all to the spiritual ruler of Babylon of all ages, the power behind the throne, Satan the devil. We are told in the book of Revelation that it is Satan, the serpent and dragon of old, who gives power and authority to the beast, Revelation 13:2. Indeed, the various heads of prophetic Babylon through all ages, compare Revelation 13:1, Revelation 17:3, the succession of Gentile world empires, are pictured as emerging from the devil, Revelation 12:3. That the devil is primarily meant in this passage in Isaiah 14 is also supported by the fact that Jesus appears to refer to verse 12 when he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, Luke 10:18. Furthermore, stars represent angels elsewhere in prophecy, see Revelation 1:20. Indeed, a third of the stars of heaven, meaning angels, were cast to the earth with Satan in his revolt against God in eons past, Revelation 12:4. We learn more of Satan's rebellion in Ezekiel 28:11-17, where, again, a human ruler is first used to typify him. In fact, as we will later see, that human ruler of Tyre is none other than the same end-time beast. Yet it is not entirely clear whether the revolt against God pictured in Isaiah 14 refers to the ancient struggle that predated man's existence. Again, see Revelation 12:4, or the one that will occur when Satan and his demons again attempt to assault God's heaven 3.5 years before Christ's return. See verses 7-14. Many scholars note that the language in Isaiah 14:12 is in the form of a lament, an expression of mourning over a great loss. This would reflect God's grief and sense of loss over the companionship of this trusted cherub, Ezekiel 28:14, and the rebellion Satan had instigated, indicating this passage refers to that initial rebellion. However, it is also possible that the primeval satanic rebellion described here is related as a forerunner of the similar latter-day assault described in Revelation 12. The outcome is the same either way. Satan failed miserably the first time, and he will fail again at the end. For more information, see our free booklet, Is There Really a Devil? Lucifer, the aspiring day star, who was brightest of the morning stars, see Job 38:7. And even now still appears as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14, is no match for the ultimate morning star, the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, see Revelation 22:16, Malachi 4:2, or the ultimate Father of lights, God the Father, see James 1:17. One of the ironies of the passage in Isaiah 14 is the idea that to be like the Most High, B14, is to be self-exalted, whereas it, in truth, is to be self-giving. Cf. Phil 2:5ff. The ugliness as well as the brevity of the false glory is powerfully shown in VV 16:21. The New Bible Commentary, Revised, 1970. Note on Isaiah 14:20-21. In reading what is said about the downfall of the ruler of Babylon, realize that all of it applies to both the human ruler and Satan, if not in fact then in type. Verses 22-23 describe the destruction of Babylon. Interestingly, after its fall, ancient Babylon did become an abandoned place of marshes as the Euphrates River gradually changed course and moved farther away from the city, a process begun when Babylon's conqueror Cyrus of Persia removed dikes that kept the river in a particular course. Isaiah referred to it before the fact as the wilderness of the sea, Isaiah 21:1, Isaiah 21:9. In fact, this is part of the reason that Alexander the Great's successor Seleucus moved his capital from Babylon shortly after establishing it there. See previous highlights. Yet there will probably be a greater fulfillment of this prophecy when end-time Babylon is cast down. Perhaps such a fate will befall the modern capital of Babylon, apparently the city of Rome. Revelation 20:1 tells us that Satan, and by implication his demons, will be bound for 1,000 years in a particular place, called a pit or abyss, which Leviticus 16:22 typifies as an uninhabited land or wilderness. The confinement prophesied for the demons will keep them away from the human beings living during the reign of Christ and his saints, and keep human beings away from them. Perhaps the mention of wild and weird animals and birds at Babylon in conjunction with its desolation, Isaiah 13:21-22, is meant to typify or even indicate demons there. See Revelation 18:2. In fact, regarding a parallel passage, the Expositor's Bible Commentary reports that at least one scholar attempts to render the assonance of psi-medi-h-yim, ciim, et-iim, desert creatures and hyenas, by goblins and ghouls. Another scholar considered them, not as animals, but probably demons of the desert. Footnote on Jeremiah 50:39. Finally, God relates destruction to come on Assyria, verses 2425, which, as with so many of these prophecies, seems to indicate both ancient and future punishment. End time Assyria is largely synonymous with end time Babylon, since they represent the same power block. The forces of this power will be broken in God's land, Israel, and on God's mountains, Jerusalem and its environs, and this punishment will affect all nations. Verse 26. This is supported by other prophetic passages, Revelation 16:14, Revelation 16:16, Joel 3:1-2. Joel 3:12-14, when the end-time Assyrian yoke of oppression and slavery is broken, God's people will be free. At the same time, the power of Satan will be overthrown. God's land and mountains, verse 25, will then be the whole earth, Revelation 11:15, and with Satan's power broken everywhere, all people will at long last be free. As a final note on the passage, it should be mentioned that the word rendered hell in verse 9 is the same word left untranslated in the rest of the chapter, Sheol. See verses 11:15. While some attempt to read into these verses a shadowy or fiery underworld, the Hebrew word Sheol is often translated the grave, which is the true meaning of the word, and in the grave human beings have no consciousness. Ecclesiastes 9:5, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Indeed, the dead are portrayed in Scripture as sleeping until the resurrection. Daniel 12:2, 1 Corinthians 11:30, 2 Peter 3:4. To learn more about this particular subject, see our free booklets What Happens After Death and Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach, and